If you have a Bible, please turn it to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. This morning we are going to continue our study on the subject of grace through the book of Galatians, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our study this morning. Father, thank you so much for gathering us here today. Thank you, Lord, especially that you have joined us by your Holy Spirit. And that as we are gathered here, Lord, you are here in the midst of us. And we pray, Lord, that you would teach us, instruct us, and help us to understand your word, Lord. We pray that your word would come into our lives and bring change, renewal, and freedom in the way that we relate to you. Thank you for loving us, for being so kind to us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. You know, everybody has to make choices in this life. This morning you woke up. Well, actually, you had to make a choice. Am I going to wake up or am I going to stay sleeping? Then after you woke up, you had to make a choice. Am I going to go to prayers this morning or am I going to stay at home and watch football? No, I don't know if football's playing this morning. You have to make choices in this life. What shirt am I going to wear? The trousers. Things like that. And when it comes to matters of faith and of the Lord and of spiritual things, you know we have to make choices in that area too. We have to choose the Lord Jesus Christ from our life of sin to a life of living for Him. We make a lot of choices, and in Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 12 this morning, we're going to look at the choice that we, each of us, have to make as it concerns the issues of grace and of the law. We've been studying those two things for the past several weeks in the book of Galatians. Grace, God's goodness, God's favor, God's love, everything that God has given to us for free. That's grace because of what Christ did. What about the law? The rules that God gave to Moses in Mount Sinai in the Old Testament. Do this. Don't do that. If you do this, you'll live. If you don't, you'll die. The law. Two things that we're going to be looking at this morning. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, let's just read together. And then we'll get into the text. Verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing, and I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. We'll stop there. Here in these verses, we see that there are really two choices that the Lord is setting before us as we study His Word this morning. There are two choices this morning, and we'll be giving them to you in different ways. First of all, in verse 1, we have a choice between freedom or liberty, is another word for freedom, and bondage. Freedom and bondage. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or the freedom by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. You see the difference there? There is freedom in Christ, and there is a yoke of bondage that we can be entangled with. Jesus offers us a life of freedom by His grace. We've been studying about grace, right? Jesus offers us a life of freedom by His grace. You know, before I was a believer, before I was a Christian, I used to do many bad things there in the United States of America where I lived. And one time I did such a bad thing that the police captured me and they put me into jail. Did you know that? Pastor Brian was in jail one time. I wasn't Pastor Brian back then. I wasn't even saved Brian. I like to think of that guy as a different man. Indeed, that's what the Bible speaks of it, as a different person, the old man. But they captured me and they put me into jail, only for one night. And while I was there in jail, I wasn't a believer, I wasn't a Christian, but I still knew that it's better to be free than to be in jail. I didn't even know that the verse said this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. But I still knew it's better to be free out there than to be in jail in here behind the bars. Maybe some of you have had the same experience, but you get what I mean. To be free is better to be in bondage. Imagine if I came in here with my hands tied, my feet tied, and I hopped up on stage like this. That's a lot more difficult than to walk up on stage. To be free is better to be in bondage. There's no one here this morning that will argue with me about that, I don't think. And Paul is saying this, in your Christian experience, in your relationship with the Lord, stand in the freedom, the liberty that Christ has given to you because of His grace. He's made us free. Amen? The Bible says this, John chapter 8, verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It goes on to say in verse 36, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, then you shall be free indeed." That's what Jesus came to do. He came to set the captives free. He came to deliver us from bondage that sin had put us in, that the law only strengthened that bondage that we were in before Jesus came to set us free. But there's a problem. In the church, in the region of Galatia, that Paul was writing this letter to, they had a problem because Christ had set them free from sin. Christ had set them free from the law, the demand that the law had on their lives. Do this, don't do that. Christ had set them free from that because He fulfilled the law. He set the captives free. And the church at Galatia, like many of us in church today, had been set free, but they looked back and they were in danger of going back into bondage. They were in danger of being captured again, of being caught, of being put back into jail. And Paul says this, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." Listen to this. There is a yoke. Do you know what a yoke is? When you have two cows together, you put a piece of wood in between them and it goes on their neck and they have to work. It's time to work when you have the yoke put on. It's heavy. It's tough. I've never worn one myself, but I've seen them on a cow. It looks tough. Do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Don't put that thing back on your neck, on your shoulder, to start working again underneath that system of the law. That's what Paul was talking about, a system of rules and regulations. That if you don't do it, then God's going to be mad at you or upset. Living our lives under those regulations that God had not designed for us to live under. And Paul says, do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Acts chapter 15, they were dealing with this very topic about the law, these rules that the people had. It says, "Now therefore," Acts chapter 15, verse 10, "therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" Did you see what they said there? It was the church council in Jerusalem. Why do you test God? Meaning, God said to do something, but you want to do something else. Why do you test Him by trying to put a yoke of bondage, a heavy thing? The law is what they were talking about, the rules that were there that Christ had set us free from as a means of relating to God. Why do you choose to put that yoke of bondage, to put Him back to work? And it was like this, the believers had been set free. Oh, I don't know if you remember when you first got saved, you felt like Christ had just delivered you. You felt so free, like you could just walk on the air. You felt your life to be free from all of the guilt, all of the sin, all of the shame, all of the things that you had done wrong. And I don't know if you've experienced this, I have. These people in the book of Galatians had, obviously. Where someone, maybe a pastor, maybe a friend comes up to you and says, "Oh, Praise God, you got saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I feel so free. Yes, praise God. But now that you're saved, let me tell you what you have to do. You have to go to the all-night prayer meeting every Friday night. Oh, okay, I like to pray. That's nice. You have to tithe this such amount if you want to be a good Christian. You have to do this. And then they start to get a list and they say, get out your pen. You're going to write down the things you have to do to be a Christian. Okay? All-night prayer meeting. Give my money. Write down all these things. Pray every morning for at least 30 minutes. Read your Bible for at least an hour and a half. Okay, okay. All right. Don't ever do a sin again. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Don't drink or chew or go out with girls that do. Okay. That's American. But you get the point. Someone comes up to you and puts a list of rules over top of you, and they say, unless you do these things, you are not really a good Christian. And if you do anything bad, oh, God is angry with you. And so you go from being free in the Lord, following Jesus and loving Him with your heart and just doing what He says to you. A personal relationship is what that's called. You go from there and you go under this list of rules that some pastor has put on you. Oh, last week I didn't go to the prayer meeting. I'm not a very good believer. I'm not a good Christian. Oh, I spent all my money on rent. And this Sunday I wasn't able to put anything in the offering bag. Oh, God must really be angry with me today. And that is bondage. That's a yoke, a heavy burden that no one's able to bear. Christ wants us to be free. We believe, they continued in Acts chapter 15, that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. It is by grace that we are saved through faith. And that is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. It's not of works, so that no one can boast. Do you know if you got saved by your works, what the good things that you did? When you got to heaven, you would be able to boast, right? You get up there and you see Pastor Brian up there, standing there, and you say, oh, Pastor Brian, I'm here. Oh, yeah, how did you get saved? Well, let me tell you, I went to all-night prayer meetings twice a week. I fasted for 3 months in a row. I went to Prayer Mountain. I lived there on Prayer Mountain. And I never ate anything. I fasted my whole life. Listen, doing good works is a good thing. That's why they're called good works. Amen. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, be careful, make sure that you're doing good works. But listen to this. Good works are not the basis on which we are saved, nor are they the basis on which God blesses us. Good works are done purely from a heart that desires to do them, and that's what God will do in our heart. From a free heart. Do you know why I do good works? Now, I may lose my reward for saying that, but do you know why I do good works? It's not because I feel like I have to or else God is going to judge me. That's not why I do good things. That's not why I don't do sinful activities. It's not because I'm afraid God is going to judge me. The reason why I do it is because my heart desires to do good things. I just want to do it. It's not because I feel like I have to. I just want to. That is a different relationship with the Lord than a set of rules and regulations that says, you do this or else God doesn't like you. You do this or else God is not going to bless you. No. Don't be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. That's exactly what Paul is talking about. We can choose between freedom and bondage. We can choose between a relationship with Christ or a religious system of rules and regulations. Two different things. A relationship with Christ or a religious system of rules and regulations. We can choose between the two. Look what he says in verse 2, chapter 5 of Galatians. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again that every man who becomes circumcised, that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. He brings up this issue of circumcision. It is not really a religious issue to us today. But back then, you know that the Jews of the Old Testament, that God gave them this sign of circumcision. In fact, it was part of the law of Moses that every child must be circumcised and then keep the law for the rest of their lives. Circumcision was the big thing to legalistic teachers. You know what the word legalism means? Those guys who just tell you a bunch of rules and regulations, do this, don't do that, they shake their finger like this. But there are legalists today, they don't really preach about circumcision too much, but back then in Paul's day, that was their deal, their main thing. Circumcision was the act by which a person is dedicating his life to live under the law to have a relationship with God. Live under the rules and regulations in order to please God, to be saved by God. The false teachers made this and other works essential to salvation. Did you hear that? They would say this, unless you are circumcised and keep the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. Look at Acts chapter 15. They said those exact things. Unless you are circumcised and keep the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. So what do I have to do to be saved? You would ask them. They would say this, you have to put your faith in Christ. Oh, amen. Praise God. And as you start to walk away, they would say, wait a minute. That's only the first thing. There are 500 more things that you have to do to be saved. Whoa. You see, they believed in Jesus. They believed that he was the Savior. But they weren't willing to give up their own works in order to be found right with God. You can put it that way. Wait a minute. I said you had to put your faith in Christ to be saved, but there are some more things here. First of all, you have to be circumcised. Because Moses and the law of Moses said so. Secondly, you know, and then they would go down the list. You can't eat this sort of meat, this sort of food. You can't eat those types of food. That's against God's law. You can't be saved if you decide to do that. Thirdly, you have to become Jewish. You have to renounce whatever, wherever you're from, and you have to be put under the Jewish religion. All of these things. That's why Paul says, if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Look, here's the point this morning. There are two ways. That's why I said you had to make a choice. There are two ways. There's the way of grace and Jesus and having a relationship with him. And there's the way of my own best effort, my own good works, and keeping the law, rules and regulations. There are two ways. And you can't have both ways at the same time. That's the point. Listen. If you want to embrace Christ and his grace in order to be saved, then you have to let go of your good works in trying to earn your salvation under the law. It's one or the other. And that's why Paul says, a person who wants to live under the law, he says in verse 3, I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised or who chooses the second road, of the law of trying to please God in our own good works, be saved by them. Every man who becomes circumcised, that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. That's what he says. If you want to choose this way of doing your own good works and trying to be saved by them, and you start with circumcision, listen, you can't stop there, Paul says. You've got to keep the whole law. And Paul knew that it was impossible for someone to keep the whole law. It's impossible. How many of you have kept the whole law? Raise your hand. You remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus? He said, Jesus, good teacher, what do I have to do to be saved? Basically is what he said, to inherit eternal life. And Jesus looked at him and you know what he started to say? He started to give him the law, right? Honor your father and mother. And he went through the list, gave him some of the Ten Commandments, the law. If you do all those things, you'll be saved. And do you remember what the guy said? Teacher, I have done all of these things from my youth. He said, I've kept the whole law perfectly. Remember him? I always laugh when I read about that guy. Because then Jesus, remember what he said? Okay, if you want to have eternal life, you want to do good, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor and then come and follow me. Jesus said that to him. And you know what the guy said? He said, oh. And then he started to get nervous and sweat started coming down off of his face. Did you say, go sell everything I have and give it to the poor? Yeah. And the Bible says that that man went away sad Because he had great possession. He had a lot of money. He wasn't willing to give up his money to follow the Lord. Do you know what? That's the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Did that guy keep the law perfectly? No way. He couldn't even get past the first one. And let me tell you something. You may know this. Maybe you don't. But you're not perfect either. And if you want to try to get saved, to please God, to be blessed by the things that you do in keeping a list of rules or laws or whatever it is, then you can't just do your best. Your best isn't good enough. You've got to keep the whole thing. Good luck. You're going to need it. And that's why Paul says, let go of that rope that is broken and cling on to the grace of Christ. Stop trying to get saved and to please God by your own works and your own best effort. You can't do it. That's exactly what he says here. Verse 4, this is a frightening verse. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. You have become estranged from Christ. Do you know what that means? You and Christ are strangers. Matthew chapter 7, many will come before me. Lord, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful things? Haven't we performed miracles and done all these signs and wonders? Haven't we kept the law and prayed five times a day and fasted? Do you know what Jesus is going to say to them? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I never knew you. I don't even know who you are. You have become estranged from Christ, you who desire to be justified by the law. Justified means that you have done everything perfectly. That to be right with God, to be accepted by God. If you're trying to be accepted into salvation by God through your works, through the things that you do, then the Bible says you don't know Christ. And he doesn't know you, and that's the bad part about it. And we've been teaching about grace and about legalism and about the law and about these different things. But today, in our chapter, in verse 4, it becomes serious. You can't have a little bit of trying to please God on your own, or trying to get saved on your own best effort, and a little bit of grace to get saved, and kind of mix the two together, and then there you go. It's all grace or nothing. All grace or all law. All grace or all works. You can't have a little bit from both to get saved, to be right with God. That's why I'm encouraging you this morning, cling to Christ and His grace. Don't try to please God, try to earn God's salvation, God's favor by the things that you do. And it says you have fallen from grace. You have fallen from grace. Notice that we do not fall from grace because we break the law and are disobedient and live a life of sin. That's not what it's talking about here. Look at the verse carefully. Falling from grace, and some people say, falling from grace, oh, losing your salvation. If you live in sin and you do bad things, then you're going to fall from grace. That's not what it's talking about. Falling from grace only happens when we make a choice to live under the law and please God according to our own works. Really, one man said it better than I did, James Montgomery Boyce. He's a Bible teacher. He's passed away now. But he says the phrase, talking about falling from grace, the phrase does not mean that if a Christian sins, he falls from grace and thereby loses his salvation. There is a sense, and listen to this, there is a sense in which to sin is to fall into grace. If one is repentant. But to fall from grace, as seen by this context, is to fall into legalism. Or to put it another way, to choose legalism is to give up grace as the principle by which one desires to be related to God. How do you fall from grace? Choose legalism as the way you're going to have a relationship with God. That's how you fall from grace. And I don't want it to happen to me or to any of you. Nor does the Lord. Romans chapter 11, verse 6 makes it clear. It's either one way or the other. Listen to what it says here about salvation. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. I'm going to explain this as we go along. If we are saved by grace, that means we are not saved by our works. Amen? That's what it means. If we were saved by our works, then grace would not be grace. Goes on to say in Romans chapter 11. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer works. That's what he says. If you're saved by grace, then you're not saved by works. If you're saved by works, then you're not saved by grace. That's simple, isn't it? Two ways. Saved by works or saved by grace. How are you saved this morning? How are you saved? How do you think God is going to accept you when you stand before Him? And I talk to many people out on the streets and I say, you know, you just need to accept Jesus because He's the only way you're going to be saved. And they look at me and say, oh, I don't know about that. I'm a pretty good person. Amen? I'm a pretty good person, they say to me. And in fact, and I say, well, what are you going to do when you stand before the Lord, who is a righteous judge, who has to judge according to our sins? And they'll say to me, well, when I stand before God, I'll just tell Him all the good things I've done, and if my good things outweigh my bad things, then He'll let me right on in. That's what people think, right? God is not going to deal with people in that way. Because He must punish sin. That's who He is. He's just. And if you've sinned, you'll be punished, unless somebody else has been punished for you already. That's Jesus. And so it's by grace. It is by faith that we are able to enjoy a right standing or righteousness before God through Jesus Christ. That's what it says in verse 5. We, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Faith, hope, and love, right in those two verses there. Things that legalism can never produce. Think about it. A legalistic teacher doesn't have a lot of love inside of them. Have you ever noticed that? There's a lot of, it's like a drill sergeant. Do you know what a drill sergeant is? A drill sergeant who is he's real big and real mad. He works in the army, at least where I'm from. And he says, you better do this or I'm going to kill you. Angry. I've met some pastors / drill sergeants in my life. People, are you giving your money to the Lord? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm sorry. Please don't hit me. It makes you cautious when you walk around outside. They're like the Lord is going to strike you dead if you didn't do something right. Have you ever felt like that before? Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Oh, you must really hate me. Please don't kill me. Faith working through love. Faith, hope, and love. You know, faith produces good works. Did you know that? People have said, Pastor, you teach about grace, and then everybody will just go off and start sinning. You start talking about grace, you need to preach legalism. I heard one guy say this, legalism will keep you out of hell. That's what he told me. Legalism will keep you out of hell. You got to tell the people what to do and they, you know, so they don't go to hell. No, legalism will send you into hell. Grace will keep you out of hell. Don't preach grace, Pastor, because then everybody will go off and sin and they won't do any good works and they won't tithe their money and they won't fast and they won't pray and do all those things. That's wrong. You know, we have been preaching grace at this place for the last 2 years that we've been here in Kampala. And some pastors are worried about the, especially money issues, right? That if they don't tell the people to give, then the building is going to collapse and then there's no money to work and do or anything like that. So I would love to preach grace, but if I preach grace, they're afraid that people aren't going to do what I want them to do. Live godly and do this and do that. Well, we've been preaching grace here, and this room, this floor up here, has been fully supported from you among the congregation, from the offerings and the gifts. I've never told you to give before. You give right now. I've never told you to hold up 20,000. I've never told you to reach in your neighbor's pocket and get out his wallet and take some. Listen to this. Faith works. A life of freedom, a life of the Holy Spirit filling our lives and working in us, man, you will produce more good works than any legalism could produce. And I believe that. Because God's Word teaches that. God is a better motivator than a legalistic preacher is. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit motivates by love. And He is inside of me and He motivates me to do good works. I don't have to be a drill sergeant like we talked about. a word about legalistic preachers, and then we're going to have communion together this morning. So Paul, basically in verses 1 through 6, he's giving us a choice, grace or works. It can be that simple. I choose grace. I hope you do too. Verse 7, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And I have confidence in the Lord that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Paul is using some pretty strong words here. There is one thing that we notice about Paul that he really doesn't like, and about Jesus too when he was on this earth. He really doesn't like false teachers and Pharisees. He doesn't like those guys who walk around like they're better than everybody else, telling everybody else how they can please God. Jesus called them hypocrites. Called them a brood of vipers, snakes. He said they were like a whitewashed tomb. They look good on the outside, but inside they're full of dead men's bones. These were the religious leaders who were teaching these things that Paul was talking about. And they will, legalistic teachers, preaching more about what we should do than about what God has done. You ran well, Paul says. The Christian life is like a race. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who is it that stuck his foot out when you were trying to run by? That's what he said. Do you know what happens when you stick your foot out when someone's trying to run by? What happens? They fall down. My brother used to do that to me all the time when I was little. Who hindered you from running? So you were running in the freedom of Christ. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I'm running. And then these guys come along. Wait a minute. Whoosh, boom. Did you give an offering this morning? No, I'm sorry. Or back then, are you circumcised? Are you keeping the law of Moses? Do you eat pork? Yes, I'm sorry. You better change or else God's going to curse you. Who hindered you, he says. And the answer to that question is false teachers. You know, there are false teachers today. They weren't just back in Paul's day and Jesus' day. They're here today. They don't just hang out in the mosque and in the Hindu temple and in these different... Do you know where the false teachers are today? In churches. And false teachers aren't in the congregation of the churches. They are right in the pulpit. Teaching. They're here today. And they're teaching legalism. One precious lady last week came up to me and she said, you know, I'm so glad you're teaching this because there are many churches that I've been to that they say the things you say are bad. They're teaching those things. And people are living in bondage. They're false teachers. In America, in Europe, Uganda, they're here. And they're teaching a works-based relationship with Christ. And Paul says this about them, and he doesn't like them, not one bit. Verse 8, this persuasion does not come from him who calls you. God is not calling you to live under a set of rules and regulations to have a relationship with him. He's calling you to live in the grace of Jesus Christ. Doesn't come from him who calls you. They're preaching a message, but it's not from God. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little false teaching doesn't just stay in a little place, it spreads. Lots of false teaching spreads from America and then comes over to here. I've seen it. Start there, and then it ends up all over the world. It spreads. Bad stuff. In verse 10, I have confidence in you and in the Lord that you will not have no other mind, but that he who troubles you shall bear his judgment. Listen to this about legalistic false teachers. They will bear their judgment. God has not accepted that. And God says in his word that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things that we have done. Of course, if we've put our faith in Jesus and we've been saved by his grace, we will never give an account of our sins. They have been taken away. But the things we've done, the things we've taught, let not many of you be teachers, knowing that they shall receive the stricter judgment, the Bible says. That's me. And I always tell myself in the morning before I come to the church service, I look in the mirror and I say, you better teach the truth. You're going to receive the stricter judgment, buddy. Yeah, you. And these guys will bear their judgments, whoever they are. In verse 11, I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? The offense of the cross has ceased. Paul had gone out of that legalistic system and into the grace of Christ, and that's why he was being persecuted. That's why he was put into prison. That's why the legalists hated him. Don't go to Paul's church. He preaches about grace, and he doesn't talk about and all this. Verse 12, Paul says, I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. He's referring to the act of circumcision, the thing that they love so much. And really what he's saying here, guys, is while they're circumcising themselves, that they would just go all the way. That's serious. Paul is serious, and God's serious about legalism. It is a trap. It is bondage. And if you live your life, your relationship with the Lord in a legalistic system, you're not going to be happy at all. For some of you this morning as we close, maybe you're living this Christian life. Maybe you're saved, but you just are not happy at all. You look back at the world and say, I remember how happy I was when I was doing those things. And now that I'm a Christian, I just have to do all of these rules, all of these regulations. That is not the way that the Lord wants to relate with you. The Lord, in His presence, the Bible says, is fullness of joy. And at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. And God wants us to relate with Him. I've said it before, I'll say it again, on the basis of that we are children, on the basis of love, on the basis of grace, and not on the basis, not on the how many good things we do and how many bad things we do. Okay? Praise the Lord. Why don't we stand together? This morning, I want you to know that God will forgive you of all of your sins. God can wash your sins away. He can cast them away from you as far as the east is from the west. And the reason why He'll do that is because Jesus Christ came to this earth and He lived a life that was perfect. He never sinned. He fulfilled the law. He did everything that the law says in order that we can be set free from our sins. He came and He was crucified. He died on the cross and He experienced the judgment that we deserve. We deserve to be there on the cross, dying for our own sins. But Jesus died for us. He took our sins. And by His grace, by His free gift, we can be saved this morning. It's nothing that we do. Our works don't have anything to do with it. It's simply by His free grace. And so this morning, if you have never been saved, if you've been trying to live and to be saved and to be right with God by your own best effort and your own good works, it's time to stop. It's time to come to Jesus and to be saved by His grace. To live a life of freedom and forgiveness that He brings. Jesus, I thank You so much for Your grace and love. That it is amazing grace. And it saved a wretch like me. Lord, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. That's because of Your love and Your grace. And I pray, Lord, that each of us would experience Your grace in a new way. And that we would be set free from a list of rules and regulations, from the bondage of the law, and that we would be set free to serve You in love by the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank You so much for that option, Lord. We thank You in Jesus' name.